22. The sun was peeking over the horizon when Mike went over to the main floor. He found half of the Albuquerque door team there. Most of the panels had been pulled off the back ring. Neil and Sasha examined components and cables one by one. Neil's eyes were puffy. Olaf stood behind them and looked over their shoulders. He glanced over at Mike.
"Do you need to be here?"
"Just doing my job," said Mike.
He looked up and saw Arthur speaking to someone just out of sight, Jamie, in the control booth.
"I'm kind of surprised to see you all working."
"We need to find out what went wrong," said Sasha, "before those idiots in Washington decide to shut us down."
"Then we're all on the same page," said Mike.
He walked around the rings and studied the floor. There were still dark spots of blood on the pathway, caught in the corners of the expanded steel. There were thin swipes and trails in it where the puddle had been wiped up.
"Hey," he said, "is it safe to get close?"
Neil looked up from the rings and nodded.
"We're powered down."
He pointed off to the side where five thick connectors had been pulled apart.
"Thanks."
Mike crouched down to look under the ramp. Then he crawled forward. He reached out and swept his hand back and forth in the dim space under the walkway.
"Looking for something?" asked Olaf.
"Maybe,"
said Mike. He straightened up and dusted his hands on his jeans.
"Did you pick up in here at all?"
"What?"
"Did you move anything, clean up anything?"
Sasha's eyes dropped to the dark spots.
"What are you looking for?"
he told them. Neil and Sasha traded a confused glance and both shook their heads. Olaf rolled his eyes.
"Is that important?" asked Neil.
He reached up to wipe his eyes with the heel of his hand.
"No," muttered Olaf. "I'm not sure yet," Mike replied. "Has anyone else been down here since it happened?"
"Arthur and Jamie were both down here for a while,"
said Sasha.
"Did they move anything?"
"I don't think so," Neil said.
"No,"
snapped Olaf. Mike counted to four. "Do you have any idea what happened to Bob?" Olaf flapped his lips for a moment. He tensed, and Mike was sure the other man was going to swing at him. Then his shoulders dropped, not quite a slump, and he shook his head.
"I don't know," he said. It makes no sense. It shouldn't have happened."
"He HD'd," Neil said. "It's the only answer. He got scrambled somehow, just like Tramp."
"You can't HD in the door," said Olaf. "There's no point when the traveler is broken down, so it can't be a reintegration issue."
"What about the magnetic field?" asked Mike.
He tugged open a workstation drawer and peered inside. "Neil's told me it can be pretty dangerous." Sasha nodded, but Olaf shook his head again.
"Everything was balanced. There was no flux. And he never crossed the lines."
"Besides, it wouldn't mess him up like that," said Sasha.
"What about his clothes?"
Olaf bit back another snide remark.
"We don't know," he said. "Like I said, none of this should have happened."
He waved a hand back at the rings.
"The levels were all good. Power was steady. Nothing's misaligned. Everything checks out. It couldn't have happened."
"But it did," said Mike.
"So how?"
"It had to be a programming issue."
He jerked his chin toward the control booth.
"The computer messed up one of the variables."
"And that would..." Mike glanced at the door.
"I don't know."
Olaf threw his hands in the air.
"All I know is we can't find anything wrong with the tech."
He turned and half stomped back up the ramp to loom over the two engineers. Mike took a last look around the floor, then headed for the control room. Jamie was hunched over a monitor scrolling through lines of code. Arthur stood a few feet behind her, both hands on his cane. His eyes were red.
"Hey," said Mike.
"How are you doing?"
asked Arthur.
"This whole thing must have been a shock for you."
"I'm okay. Thanks for asking."
Arthur looked at him for a moment.
"Is there something we can do for you?"
Mike nodded at the screens.
"Any idea yet what happened?"
"Hardware problem,"
said Jamie. Her eyes never left the screen. More lines of code scrolled by.
"Olaf seems pretty sure it's a computer problem," said Mike. She spun. Her eyes weren't as red as Arthur's, but they weren't far from tears.
"Did you just come up here to stir things up?"
"No," he said. "Sorry, I was just trying to."
"It's hardware," she said. "It has to be."
"If it was the program or the equations," said Arthur, "the door couldn't have opened."
"Are you sure?" said Mike. "There's no way it could have opened wrong?" Jamie made a noise that sounded like a snort cut off before it could get free. The corners of Arthur's mouth trembled, as if his lips were fighting to form either a faint smile or frown and were too evenly matched.
"No," he said. "I don't think so."
"That doesn't sound too certain." Jamie tapped a key, freezing the scroll. She looked up over her shoulder at Arthur.
This is why I told Magnus we need more testing," he said. "There are still a lot of things we don't know."
Arthur hooked his cane on his pocket, pulled off his glasses, and pinched his nose. He took a few deep breaths. A few more moments passed before he pushed the eyeglasses back onto his face. A moment passed. "The day after I arrived," said Mike, "Bob asked me if you'd been talking about him." Arthur blinked.
"Me?"
"Yeah."
"Talked about him how?"
Mike counted to three and then raised his shoulders in a casual shrug. "I don't know. We were out having dinner, Olaf showed up, and he changed the subject." Arthur and Jamie traded a look.
"To be honest,"
he said,
"we'd all noticed that Bob had been acting a little odd lately."
"Odd how?"
"Just not like himself," said Jamie. "Kind of, well, paranoid."
Mike counted to three again.
"Like Ben Miles?"
Arthur shook his head.
"Nothing like that. He just seemed like he was hiding something."
"Any idea what?"
"I couldn't say."
Another moment passed. "Could the accident have anything to do with that flash drive you gave Jamie just before Bob went through?" Arthur set his cane back down on the floor.
"What are you implying?"
"I'm not implying anything," said Mike. "I'm asking a question. You introduced a new element and something went wrong. I'm wondering if there's a connection."
"We didn't introduce anything," said Jamie.
She reached across the desk and picked up the flash drive.
"I haven't even plugged it in yet."
She and Arthur shot dark looks at Mike.
"So what's on it?" he asked.
"Suggestions for an algorithm update,"
Arthur said. "What kind of update?"
"I'm afraid that falls under things we don't have to share with you."
"And it's moot," said Jamie, waving the drive, "because I never did anything with them."
She tossed it back onto the desk. It clattered against some equipment and fell to the floor. She didn't move to pick it up. Arthur tapped his fingers on the head of his cane.
"Did you need anything else, Mike?"
Jamie looked back and forth between them. He let a few moments of his own pass.
"Yeah," he said. "I was wondering if either of you took anything from the main floor."
Her eyes focused on him.
"What do you mean?"
After he came through the door, did either of you pick up anything?" Arthur peered over his glasses.
"Like what?"
"The baseball."
Jamie blinked.
"The baseball?"
"The one Bob and I were tossing back and forth."
"Yeah, I figured that's the one," said Jamie. "What about it?"
"It's gone. Vanished." Arthur frowned.
"Are you sure?"
"Pretty sure."
"Neil or Sasha probably picked it up,"
said Jamie. She turned back to her screens and the text scrolled.
"They probably don't even remember doing it."
"I asked," said Mike. "Unless they picked it up and put it somewhere else altogether, it's not down there."
"You were right there," said Arthur. "Didn't you see where it went?"
"I wasn't looking when he stepped through." Another moment passed.
"So?"
asked Jamie. "So," said Mike, "maybe it's a clue. Maybe if we can find it, it'll help us figure out what happened." Arthur hooked his hands in his pockets again.
"We already have a lot to do, Mike," he said. "We're stripping the door down to the wires and going over every line of code."
"It'll just take a minute to look at the video, though."
The older man cleared his throat.
"We don't have the time."
You don't have the time to find out what went wrong?
We have an established method for hunting down problems. I'll consider your idea and add it to the schedule.
So just let me look at the video. I won't get in the way.
I'd rather you not look at something that may give away insights into the workings of the Albuquerque door.
Are you serious?
Of course. That's one of the conditions of your being here.
I was standing right there watching it, Mike said, gesturing down at the main floor. But you won't let me watch the recordings?
Arthur said nothing.
It'd go 10 times faster if you let me help.
Jamie stabbed at her keyboard and stopped the scroll again. She glared at Mike.
You think you can go through this faster than me?
I didn't mean it like that, he said.
I just meant, no, please, she said.
She rolled her chair back a foot and opened a path to the monitors.
Tell me what I'm missing. Tell me how I screwed this up.
No one thinks you screwed up, said Arthur.
If he can do it so much faster, let him, she said. I'm halfway through, but God knows I don't want to be doing this right now.
Mike waited a moment, then stepped forward and bent to the screens. He set one hand on the back of Jamie's chair. His fingertips brushed her shoulder and he felt her tense up. Jamie twisted out of the chair and sucked a breath between her teeth. Her eyes flashed as she spat the air back at him.
Don't!
Sorry, he said. I didn't mean to.
Don't you fucking touch me!
She roared, stalking past him and out of the control room. The room settled and Arthur cleared his throat.
I'm sorry about that, he said. I don't think Jamie's personal space issues have come up before, have they?